worship. We come to this place of prayer
to bring our hopes and dreams.
We come to this place of grace
to hear the word of compassion and joy.
We come to this place of inclusion
to discover our need to be our love.
We come with these people called the church
to live together as one.
All are welcome here.
Diane, stand up so we can see you. Come on. Welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. How many years did you teach gospel is for the good of the community. First and foremost, we had planned and planned and planned to have a block party today. Right outside, on the street, we got all of it planned. I put Caleb in charge of the weather. We are going to have a block party today in the fellowship hall. So all the things that we were planning to do are going to happen in the fellowship hall. Here's what Caleb and I just learned a few minutes ago. We were going to sit in the dunk tank today, and they were going to throw balls at us and get us all wet. So we're not going to do that. But here's what Caleb and I were just informed, as we sat up here in our moment of prayer. They said, tell everybody that they can put ties in their faces. I wasn't at that meeting. So I guess you get to throw pies in Caleb and I's face today. All for a good cause. After service, come on down to the fellowship hall. We got hot dogs and lunch and games and fellowship. And we're just asking for a donation to help our kids get on their mission here this summer. So after service, come on down. We can't be outside, but we can sure be together in the joy. So meet us down in the fellowship hall after service. Second thing I want to let you know about is there's just a couple weeks left before the 40th annual Oak Apple Run. The Oak Apple Run is a long-time ministry that this church began and it still continues, and it's an event for health and for fitness, but it's also an opportunity to support mission. All the proceeds from that go to help support our CAST Tiny House program. And so when we see our friends is back here, where are they? There they are. They'll be down there at the table today. You've got to sign me and Sam. Where's my boy Sam? Me and Sam are going to do the 5K, so sign us up today afterwards. Sam asked me if we could do it. I will watch you do it, son. I will lap you, okay? All right? Just give me a high five on your way past. So, but come and be a part of that. The last thing I want to let you know about is you're going to start hearing about our Summer of Love. Beginning on June 11th, we are going to be doing our Summer of Love, our opportunity to get out into our neighborhood and make Christ's love real to the people around us. And here's how it begins. On June 11th, we're going to be celebrating Pentecost Sunday. On Pentecost Sunday, here's what I need from you to do that day. I need two things from you. First thing I need you to do is find something red to wear. John, you got anything red to wear? Cheryl, would you take me shopping for something red, okay? Right? I need red ties. I need red shirts. I need, maybe you got some red pants. You got some red pants. I want to see those red pants, red dresses. If you've got something that you are wearing that is red and I can't see it, I don't want to know about it, all right? That's what we're saying. But wear something red that day so we can kind of be caught together in this Holy Spirit moment. And here's what we're going to do immediately after this service. We're going to go downstairs and we are going to live one of Jesus' greatest stories. We are going to feed 4,000 people together. We're going to go downstairs immediately after the service, both services, and we're going to make 4,000 sandwiches that day. Right? There will be stations all around the fellowship hall. We're going to have peanut butter and jelly station. We're going to have a ham and cheese station, a bologna and cheese sandwich. 4,000 sandwiches are going to be made before we leave here that Sunday. And those are going to go out to our partners at CAST and Song in Spirit. And 4,000 people will be fed because of the Holy Spirit's reality right here in our church. Want to know how that story happened 2,000 years ago? Come on the 11th and do that. Wear red. We'll give you a hairnet. It's a sexy combination. And we'll help make that work. I think those are all the announcements we have for the good of the community. And with that, I get to do what is probably my favorite thing in the world. And that's open the doors of the church to membership, to connection. The Church of Jesus Christ exists for lots of reasons, but probably my favorite thing to have it exist for is to make sure that you have a place that you can call home. Today we get to welcome some new people into our life and into our ministry. And so I welcome those who are going to join our church today to come on forward and stand here with us as we welcome them. Every once in a while, life has a way of come to us with a lifetime of ministry behind them. Years of serving in prison ministry and hospice ministry, writers and teachers, passionate about God's love and how to share it in the world. We're very grateful that in their journey they have decided to put down some roots here and to spread their wings. Welcome home. We're glad to have you. You know, home is the place where when you come, we can't kick you out. So we're grateful to have you here with us today. Phil and Jane, why don't you just give us a word about what this moment means for you today.
Well, the joy that we have received since starting to attend here about a month and a half, 2 months ago, was instantly made aware to us when we walked in the front door and were welcomed by the janitor. I appreciate that. And by the elevator for Janie to be able to come up on and for us to be able to be here. We had got out of prison a few years ago and we're glad to be having been at Chapman, and Janie was an educator there, and glad to have worked at hospice, and now we work with, take care of each other, and we're glad to be here at Royal Oak because we see God's Spirit working within you, each of you, as you welcome us and love us, and we thank you very much for letting us be a part. I thought we'd get blackballed, but evidently somebody overrode the last term.
It was because of you, Jamie.
I told him it was because of me. Judge didn't have to tell me.
Yeah.
I did teach in the same prison where he was the chaplain. I taught there for 18 years. It was the best job I ever had. It was purely God's doing that I was there. And it was the only job I ever had where I felt like I had a true purpose. And it was just wonderful. I liked retiring. I didn't miss administration, but I did miss my students. We're very happy to be here. We're happy with the welcome we've received and so many wonderful people we've met, and we expect to expand that in the next few weeks. Thank you.
Phil and Jane joining 10 people who joined at the 9 o'clock service today. So we welcome a new membership class of 12. We're grateful for the way that God continues to call people here into our midst. Jane and Phil, I just ask you a couple of questions. The answer to them all is yes. It is yes. Will you support this church with your presence? Maybe. Will you support it with your prayers? Yeah. How about with your gifts? Can't give any more. Well, I'm going to give you envelopes anyway. Electronic giving. They've already figured it out. How about your service? Will you support this church with your hands? Remind us of the blessing that God has given us so that we can in turn give it to others. If so, say we will. Brothers and sisters, I ask you, will you receive Phil and Jane in your midst? And will you support them? And will you love them with your presence, with your prayers, with your gifts, and with your service? If so, say we will. You heard one note. That's right. They didn't need to be your hands. I asked, this is Renee. Renee is helping us direct our hospitality and new membership coordination. She has a gift for both of you. It's a yellow rose. The yellow rose, when you were in high school and a girl gave you a yellow rose, you got put in the friend zone. It was no good. But today, we give you this sign, a sign of friendship. We no longer call you visitors, we call you friends, we call you family. And for that, we welcome you here to the Life of Royal. Your yellow roses in her wedding. How many years ago was that? part of this journey. Renee is going to pray us.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We come to you full of love and hope. And humbly just thank you. Thank you for our family and the other families that have joined this church. May we all just be reminded that you loved us first.
Yes.
And that, Lord, may we go out, all of us, old members, new members, friends, and visitors, just to be your hands and feet and to show the world that we love you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
One more time, would you welcome Jane and Phil into the light of our Because I'm here, right? If I'm not here, is this still the church?
Yes.
Yes, that is the right answer, right? So the church doesn't really mean it's the pastor. So what makes the church the church? Yeah. Having a lot of love, right? So, and have love to spread to everyone, yes. Learning about God, yes. Having music, all those things help me. Church, but here's my question. Do we have to have this great big building to be the church?
No.
No, why not? The church can be the church if it's just the people. You can get a doctorate in ministry for that, brother. That was brilliant. He said the church, all the church needs to be the church is a whole bunch of people who want to do God's work in the world. You know what's that, right?
We show others who we are by the lives we lead, the words we speak, and the actions we undertake. Let us offer God the needs of our hearts and the concerns of our world. Please join in the use of prayer of forgiveness, followed immediately by a moment of silence and prayer for ourselves and for others. O God, you scatter our paths with a thousand moments of grace, but sometimes it's hard for us to let go.
Allow us to loosen our grip and accept the gift of life that surrounds us.
Open us to the spirit of forgiveness that resurrects dreams and builds courage.
Allow us to loosen our grip on our emotions and feelings.
Release us into humility and into an acceptance of our shared humanity.
Help us to loosen our grip.
Again into the life of this wild and wondrous world you love so much. Hear our deepest cares in silence. The God who made you will not abandon you. We are not alone.
Thanks be to God.
God in community, unite us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, our God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power.
gathered downstairs yesterday to learn about how we can do ministry in Liberia. You're going to hear a challenge about that today, and I understand you're ready to take that challenge halfway around the world. Up here on this stage, leaders were meeting to discern the light and vision of the church, all of that going on at the same time, in a building that has one bathroom and only one place to meet. Then in the evening, 50 people gathered here to raise money to send kids to camp. are connected. Which means sometimes you won't find that we're united enough as pastors to agree on anything except that if a phone call comes from a colleague that says, I've got a parishioner who's living in your area who's having surgery this week and I can't get there, can you get there? A united Methodist pastor will get there. At least once or twice a year, I get a call from somewhere throughout the country where somebody will say, hey, you don't know me, but I'm a pastor of this church somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I have a parishioner who's got a brother that is dying and nobody there to go call on them. Would you make sure somebody in your church goes and sees them? And United Methodists do that for each other. That's what it means to be connected with each other in this network of care. There are several United Methodist pastors in this house today, and we can tell you that one of the great things that we cherish about our life and our calling is this connection we have with each other. It's an interesting life. Today I get to introduce to you a former pastor with whom I am connected. In the United Methodist tradition, you take great honor and privilege to come behind those that you admire. Long before I knew I was a pastor, going to be the pastor here at Royal Oak First, I knew of Mike Seymour's ministry here at the Detroit Annual Conference. And when I came and learned that Mike was one of the pastors whom I would have the honor and privilege of continuing that tradition here, I knew that there was good stuff happening here, because wherever Mike Seymour has been in ministry, good stuff has happened. Mike was a pastor here, I think, when Jesus was attending here, right? Somewhere in the mid-90s, but as I talk to you about his time here, you all smile and are grateful for all the ways that Mike was a blessing to you. We shared the same call because we pastored the same church, we shared the same home. And I think somewhere in that little nook, I saw Mike Seymour was here, written on the same. Brothers and sisters, it's my honor and privilege to invite back home, to welcome back home, one who was a pastor to many of you, one who married some of you, who baptized some of your kids and loved ones, our friend, my colleague, our pastor, Reverend Mike Seymour.
Share with you. Many, many memories flow back through. The early service I need to share with you was very meaningful to me, because if you remember the years that I was here, when I came, both services were identical, identically the same. And I was the one who dared to try to change the first service. And I took the long sport.
Thank you.
But
yeah.
I just opened a crack in the door. And to be here in that first service now is, I'm glad I took the long sport. I opened the crack so it could grow into where I knew it needed to be. But I wasn't trained in that. I was trained in the radio generation. You stood in the pulpit, you had your sermon, and you put your hands on both sides and you preach, and everybody out there was so used to listening to a radio that that was it. Well, guess what? It's been a long time since you've spent hours listening to somebody talk on the radio. Unless you're in the car. And even now, you've got screens in the car. And I knew it needed to happen, and I'm so glad to where you are. this service, which has been your tradition, as well as the creativity and the support in the earlier service. The other thing that I wanted to share with you is the choir was up here, is my appreciation for the choir, and I need to say, see, when my last Sunday here, they asked what I wanted sung, and I wanted sung the Hallelujah Chorus. And there is no choir that sings that Hallelujah Chorus better than this choir. My wife and I were ushered out of here on my last Sunday of ministry, formal ministry, to the Hallelujah Chorus. And in 2006, my wife died, and I knew I wanted the memorial service right here, and I wanted this choir to sing the Hallelujah Chorus, which they do. And I haven't even told my family this, and it's not my control. But when I die, I want the memorial service here, and I want this choir to usher me into eternity with a Hallelujah Chorus. No, and I want you to know that's right. Don't practice it for me now. I'm taking my grandson in next month to the Peruvian Amazon, and 2 years later, my other grandson, he wants, and I'm taking him to the Galapagos Islands. So I'm just turned 80. I've got to have good health through 82, so don't practice it for at least 2 years, and hopefully many more after that. Nevertheless, I just say it's a joy to be here and to share. And I bring a message that I hope speaks to, really, as you will see, all of us, including me. Let us pray. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was about a year ago, and I can't remember the reason why, I had to have a brain scan. And after they did the brain scan, I met with the doctor, and the doctor shared the results. He said, it's basically okay, but your brain has atrophy. It's shrunk. Oh, what's that mean? And he says, well, that just kind of happens in old age. Well, what I want you to know is if I don't remember your name, it's because that part atrophies. And if you hear me rattle my head a little bit and you hear the rattle, you'll know it's because my brain has atrophy. But seriously, I come today with a real concern on my heart. That at the very time when the world is closer together than it's ever been before in terms of communication, in terms of travel, in terms of knowledge, my goodness, John, my grandson, who's the pastor in Rochester, on Saturday in Monrovia, was trying to send a video of our time there back to Rochester to be used on Sunday in their service. And it worked. I mean, wow, what a world we live in. And yet, the prevailing mood of our seems to be running in the opposite direction. It's almost tribal in nature. And to me, that's scary. says birds of a feather flock together. And at my house, Lakeview, Michigan, I have a bird feeder that's really only about a foot and a half from the picture window. And I can sit in my chair and I can watch the birds come and go. And I see a constant flow of red and yellow and brown and black birds, often at the feeder at the same time and often side by side. And they all sing different songs. They all have different color combinations. They all are of different sizes. But they figure it out. You and I need to invest time to figure it out.
Praise God, man.
It's so much easier to simply gather together our kind, to gather together those who have our understanding, to gather together with those with whom we are comfortable. It's kind of trying. And yet I recall that one of the very last words that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said to us upon this earth is to go into all the world.
Amen.
And equally, I recall that our founder of Methodism, John Wesley, taught us that the world is my parish. And yet, if we follow seemingly the popular mood of our day, we almost suffer from dyslexia. The parish is my world. My family is my world. My church is my world. Take your pastor, Jeff, for instance. Do you see him as primarily serving you here? Or do you see him from your base serving the community? All of which begs an answer to the very question, what is your definition of work? How big is your world? Because from that moment of birth, at that moment of birth for every last one of us, our world was very, very small. It extended to mommy and only mommy. And then, hopefully, it extends to dad. And then it extends to brothers and sisters. Who determines that? Who determines if your world, my world, grows, and if it grows, how far it grows? And I know absolutely for me, I do. And I know absolutely for you, you do. There is no one else. This was really brought home to me by my grandchild, who now is almost five. why when she was born, was she ever a mommy's girl? And even now, I am in her world only when she so chooses to allow me. A year ago, I babysat for her. I was with her all day. And this is what I had to deal with. All day. All morning long, I tried every trick in the book. This is what I dealt with. It got time for lunch. I thought certainly she'd eat. This is what I dealt with. I ate lunch, and then I said, you have a choice. You can eat your lunch now, or you can go have your nap. This is what I had to deal with. She got up out of her chair, where she'd been all morning, and she went to her bedroom, and she napped and slept until her parents came home. Now, her brother, who's now 7, he and I, we co-dean Grand Camp up at Kinwin every summer. We do it this summer. And by the way, if you have grandchildren, it's for grandparents and grandchildren. 2 nights, that's about as much as grandparents can handle. It's a wonderful quality time experience. Well, he and I would recommend you think about doing it this summer. But he and I co-dean, he's the youngest co-dean in the history of United Methodist Camping. He started 2 years ago. Well, you know what? My granddaughter, she says this year she wants to go with us. At least some of the time, she said. And I would seek your prayers. If she decides to go, that I am able to be in her world. Clearly, we expand or we atrophy our world as we choose, whether it be friends or whether it be church or whether it be neighborhood or whether it be co-workers. But at some point, there is an edge. At some point, there's an edge to your world and there's an edge to mine, and we need to be very honest about where that edge is, and equally very honest that we have chosen that edge. And then we need to wrestle with why that is our edge. Go into all the world. All. Go into
all
the world. Does your world include blacks and Hispanics and Asians? As a young child growing up in the city of Detroit, I knew that the church in Detroit that my father grew up in, that if a quote, different person came on Sunday morning to worship, the ushers, quote, politely informed them of the closest church that was like them. Does your world include street persons? The homeless. Does your world include the gay and the transgender? Does your world include the Muslim and the Jewish? Last fall, I attended an dialogue of a rabbi, an imam, and a pastor that was held in Alpena, Michigan. And they called themselves the Interfaith Amigos. And they travel all over this country carrying on that dialogue. It happened after 9/11, and these three were in the same community, and afterward they said, we have got to get together and dialogue with each other. And it's grown to the point where I had the privilege of sharing all day as they dialogue. And the conclusion is that in spite of all of the chatter in the media today, the reality is we share an awful lot in common.
Amen.
Does your world include the Liberian or the Haitian? Our Detroit Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church has a covenant relationship with our brothers and sisters in those two countries. In Liberia, you built a cottage in the Judith Craig Children's Village, and it needs help. We raised the money, it must have been in the 90s, because I think it was built in 91, and the roof leaks in your cottage. So they can't have any children in your cottage. The administrative offices are in your cottage right now. I hope, I pray, that you will take care last 3 weeks of July. The minister appointed a year ago as the director of the Children's Village is going to be itinerating in Michigan. And it makes a lot of sense to me that you have him come and you learn about your cottage and the needs of our as Michigan Children's Village. The world is my parish. You determine for you, and I determine for me, the dimensions, the edge of that world. As followers of Jesus the Christ, we need to be continually finding ways to expand our world. Oh, you may ask how? Well, I would suggest that the very first thing we have to do is we've got to have a desire or a need, a want to expand, because it takes effort to expand. Then we need to find the edge of our world. And we need to focus just on one part of that edge that we want to expand. It's overwhelming to expand it all. One part. And then look at that one part and try to figure out what is holding me back. Is it fear of the unknown? Is it stories that we've heard and we generalize on? Is it unfamiliarity? Then we need to find ways to make contact. That might simply mean reading to discover the real facts, not what the chatter is. The real facts. Or it may be finding some way to be in contact, whether it be pen pals, whether it be some neutral setting, but above all else, that we listen and then see if we can't move your line in the sand. My pastor in Florida told a story, and it must be hopefully some time ago, of a man who was dying of AIDS in the hospital. He was the only one in the room, and he became very, very sick. No one came to see him. And then as he was critically ill, some of the family members came and they just stood at the doorway. And they chastised him for his lifestyle and his choices. And then they left. And he became even more ill. And finally the chaplain of the hospital came in. Now he stepped inside the door and he read a scripture and had a prayer. And then he left. And the man was almost at death's door. And a nurse came in and came over, laid down in the bed beside him, stroked his forehead, and whispered in his ear, "You are a child of God. You're going to a better place." And stroked the forehead again, and then got up and left the room, went about her tasks. Well, word of what she had done spread among the nurses like wildfire, and when the nurses were all together at the nurses' station, they sort of cornered her and said, "Do you know what you did? Are you crazy?" And she turned around to them and she said, "It may be crazy, but I do what Jesus would do."
Amen.
I come here to confess that I found the edge of my world. Oh, my world. It includes the homeless. As the church I attend in Florida, we make mats from plastic garbage bags to be distributed by Open Hands, it's called, to the homeless in that community. Oh, my world, it includes the migrants. As I organize every Christmas our mobile home community to gift a nearby migrant camp that picked the strawberries that you can have strawberries in January. Most of them are undocumented. That doesn't matter. We gift them all. We gift them with food. We gift them with clothes. We gift them with gifts. We have a piñata. We have a Santa. We have a great day that brings joy to them. And I remember one year we went to one of the doors of the trailer and the mother was in tears. She said, "Nobody has ever come to the door of my house before." Yes, my world includes the homeless and the migrants, and it even includes children in stress, as the church that I attend in Florida has started a toy-making ministry. What is a toy-making ministry? We make out of wood little toys on wheels that we give to the first responders, to the policemen and the firemen, so that when they arrive on a scene and there's little children that are in stress, they give them a toy from our church. But, for all that my world includes, I discover the edge of my world in a hospital ward in our United Methodist Hospital in Gonta, Liberia. I so wanted to walk on that left-hand side to go to talk with those people on the left. And I started walking that way, and as I did, the nurse at a desk behind me just quietly said, "This is the malaria ward." And I froze. Before I froze, I saw them. After I froze, I couldn't see them. And I slowly backed up. It's embarrassing when I think about it. But what I found is that the edge of my world is right there across those tiles. You need to find the edge of your world. And then may we covenant together to work toward all. It may be crazy, but it's what Jesus would do.
Amen.
Let us pray. God, we pray that you would help us. Help us to find the edge of our world and further help us to expand that edge until we're able to affirm with your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all the world. Amen.
I'm going.
challenge loud and clear today. Royal Oak First started something in Liberia years ago that we need to pick back up. And I haven't talked to the boss yet, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Nelsons would like to put the first $100 back in towards that hut today. If she doesn't like that, you'll have to pick that up, sir. Mike, how much is that roof going to take?
Well, the roof, the Alpena Church had the same problem, and they sent $5,000 about 3 years ago. It redid the roof, and it refurnished the living area and the beds that the kids are living in. And so $3,000 for the roof, and if you go beyond that, it would furnish.
Well, we'll take care of that roof. Can we take care of that roof?
Yeah.
Mike, send us out of here with a blessing today, would you?
God, we pray that you would send us forth to all of the world. All of the world. And we know that we've got to work on that. I know I got to work on it. And send us with your blessing that together we will go to all the world.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.